Welcome to the Recycle.com podcast. My name is Marissa Segundo. I'm Senior Communications Strategist with Resource Recycling Systems. Glad to have you here today and very glad to have our special guest, Kelly Domino. She is a consultant at Resource Recycling Systems, or RRS, where she has been for the past 9 years specializing in strategic waste and recovery, university waste assessment, goal setting, and outreach. She works with collaborative projects and in both the public and private sectors. So very excited to have her here today. Welcome, Kelly.
Thanks, Marissa. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. Well, I'd like to start this off, so give a chance for people to get to know you a little bit better. They know about your experience with RRS just based on your intro, but my understanding is that you like to travel and have traveled to a lot of different places. So where is somewhere that you've always wanted to travel that you haven't made it there yet?
Well, I haven't been to a lot of places, but I really couldn't narrow it down to just one. So on my bucket list, I have two places. One being Alaska. I've heard just amazing things. Would love to go to Denali National Park, see the glaciers, see the wildlife. And then the second would be Patagonia in South America. It's supposed to be beautiful. I'm based in Colorado and I love the mountains, but I've heard that seeing the blue lakes there, being able to hike in that region, is just a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully going there one day and seeing both of those places.
So you said you haven't traveled much, but by my count, you've traveled quite a bit. Of the places that you've been, where's your favorite adventure that you've taken?
Ooh, I would say, it's so hard to pick just one. I would say in terms of an experience, a few years ago, I had the opportunity to hike the Appalachian Trail. And that was just a new experience of seeing, I hiked about 500 miles and, you know, seeing mountains and landscapes by foot is just a whole different experience than, you know, getting on a plane and going somewhere. And while it might be beautiful, you know, seeing where your feet can take you, I think kind of put a new kind of glasses lens on my view of the Appalachian region. So that was definitely one of my favorite experiences.
That's amazing. And you did that by yourself too, which is very impressive.
I did. It was very fun.
Well, I think that we have a lot to learn from you, not just about travel, but also about what you've seen on college campuses, which is our focus today, talking about the university sector and recycling and recovery projects. So what type of trends in your experience of working with universities, what kind of trends are you seeing for waste recovery on college campuses?
Yeah, so I think in terms of trends, as probably on any college campus, trends come and go very quickly. But with waste and recovery, something that I've seen campus to campus is really the type of goal or strategy they're working towards. So whether it be zero waste, a diversion goal, a climate neutral goal, that seems to be kind of the new trend as to what campuses are choosing. And so it's been difficult for campuses to know what's best for them. And it's really varied in terms of whether a school, you know, has set just a recycling rate goal or a zero waste goal. But it does seem like the new trend is to choose to go climate neutral. And, you know, I think in our experience, it's very personalized. It comes down to, well, you know, all of these are, they're all great to have some sort of goal, you know, working towards, you know, recovering these materials. You know, it can be hard for a campus to choose, you know, what they're working towards just simply by what type of processing they have in the area, whether it be recycling, composting, what in markets are available for the material recovery facility that is in their area and who's picking up their waste. And so it really, you know, there are a lot of different factors that play into, you know, what they're going to be able to achieve. And so I think that's going to be something that is hard for campuses to, you know, pick what's, you know, their main goal is. But that has been the latest trend is, you know, moving away from just having a recycling rate or a recycling goal. It's moving towards a larger zero waste or climate neutrality plan for the future.
Great, great. You're talking about planning as far as universities are concerned. Recently, you worked on a project as part of your work with RRS. Tell me a little bit about this research and how that's beneficial for universities.
Yeah, so research, the research that we did was based around kind of universities and where, you know, where they currently stand, what they're doing, you know, what these goals are that I just kind of talked about. And RRS has always looked at universities as small cities or just as cities. You know, they have office space or classrooms, retail space, food venues, and living spaces. But they also generate waste just as a city would. So they have to have programs to encourage waste prevention and increased recovery of, you know, any of these materials. And so, you know, I've always found that the exciting thing about universities is that, you know, campuses are a source of innovative ideas. They tend to have some sort of progressive technology, not to mention they just have bright and, you know, really smart students, you know, walking around on campus. And so, you know, they can be the source of new research and, you know, what we always call, you know, the proving grounds for new waste practices. So the research that we were doing really came out of, you know, looking at these different factors. And so over the last 5 years or so, we've gotten a ton of questions, whether it be at a conference workshop I was at or working with universities on projects, you know, we'd get these questions of where do I stand or how do I measure up? You know, am I doing a good job compared to, you know, their neighboring school or their rival? And it's just such a common question we hear. And we want, you know, universities want to know how they measure their progress, how if they're being successful with their sustainability programs. And so, you know, while there are great tracking systems like ASHE's STARS program, which tracks different waste and, you know, different data measures across, you know, campuses, not all campuses use those type of programs. And not only that, they might not update every year. And so, you know, we thought this would be a great opportunity to take our own resources and look at public records, do some web searching, and really get a small snapshot or a snapshot of the universities across the US. And, you know, give universities an opportunity to see the highs and the lows, do some of their own comparison, and then really see kind of a small picture of, you know, some of that innovation that I was speaking to that's happening across the campus.
Wonderful.
Across the country.
Mm-hmm. So what universities can expect here is a little bit of answering somewhat of that question, how they measure up against other universities.
Correct. Yes. We're hoping it's something where, you know, we broke down a lot of the data into different categories, mainly by region and by size. Just because, as everyone knows, every campus is different, as every person is different. And so it is really hard to make comparisons, you know, based on, you know, all the different factors that go into it. And so we hope that at least being able to look at, you know, similar regions, similar size school would give you, you know, give universities a better idea of how they measure up.
Great. You also mentioned, Kelly, the pressure to set these goals. Are you seeing that pressure coming from kind of driven by the university administration? Are you seeing the pressure coming from students themselves wanting to attend a university or have some type of action at their own university. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think it's both. In a lot of cases, I think if it's coming from the administration leadership of a university, that's actually a really great sign. In our experience, we've seen that if there's support from the top down, that is a key to success, you know, a successful program, helping, you know, that those type of programs progress on a campus. But a lot of the pressure has been coming from students. I think that's a lot of where, you know, they're the champions on the ground on campuses. And so they're pushing for their campus to meet those, you know, their expectations. I think it's something where, you know, there's always activists on campus. There's always students doing research, hearing, you know, what the latest trends are, you know, across the country, across the world. And so I think they're always, you know, setting their own expectations and hoping their campus can meet that. And so I think coming, especially from new applicants going to university, a lot of universities have, you know, try to share, you know, what their progress is, just because it can be a factor that people take into account when they're choosing, you know, what school to attend.
Yeah, that's great. And the fact that this is factoring into planning long and short term is huge. And I'm wondering, you know, you'd mentioned in the final deliverable that this being broken down by regions. Are you seeing, maybe you could talk a little bit about the trends, and I'm curious if there's any crossover with, you know, a city's zero waste goal versus the university that's within a city, if those are aligned or complementary.
Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, comparing to the city, we didn't necessarily do any research as of yet to see kind of where, especially with schools that are in an urban environment, how they compare to their surroundings. Although that is something that we've noticed in different projects, that a lot of universities, especially larger universities that have a lot of area to cover and a lot of waste to manage, that they do try and take advantage of their surroundings. So if they are in a city, they can see, you know, what their hauler is, what the city's using as their hauler, what materials they're collecting, kind of using their guidelines if they can. So that's something that's definitely also been something that we've seen, you know, across the country, is seeing kind of what they can use for resources. But in terms of trends that we saw in the data about, you know, by region, by size, we did see that, you know, across the entire, you know, sample of schools that we looked at, there was a large focus of sustainable efforts on campus, which was great. I think that was something that I wasn't necessarily surprised to see, but, you know, with climate change, you know, being at the forefront of, you know, a lot of students' minds, most schools seem to be at least addressing some sort of focus with sustainability on their campus. And so that's great to see that kind of level of support. But we found that approximately 59% of schools did have that kind of support that I was talking about before, whether it be a sustainability office or, you know, some sort of leader like a sustainability director. And about 55% of those schools did have some sort of established student group. And we found that, you know, was majority of schools had, again, some sort of established leader or group that was that champion they needed for campus. And so that definitely was a across the board finding. It wasn't necessarily specific to a region or a size school. And so that was great to see, you know, that, you know, there are recycling champions, eco reps, sustainability stewards at, you know, a majority of these schools. And then in the report, you'll see that we did break it down by region, but overall recovery did vary slightly by region. And by size of school, the average diversion rate ranged from about 47 to 55%, which I was surprised to see. I think, you know, in the research, you'll see in the report that it breaks it down by recycling, composting, and you'll see the different rates, recycling rates, composting rates, by school size and region. And to see that the average was still over around 50%, that's still pretty great. I think, you know, in our line of work, we've seen a lot of schools that are just needing the help to get mm-hmm. a little bit farther past that benchmark. And so it was great to see that as an average that, you know, most schools are taking it as, you know, a serious measure to kind of increase that diversion rate.
Yeah. And that includes recycling and composting. I know composting was a bit, was part of your research as well. Can you talk a little bit about what you discovered on the composting side?
Yeah. So, you know, it is something that it might have felt like it's been around for a long time, but it is kind of a new latest and greatest for campuses to have a composting program. And again, it's something that, you know, varied between type of school, size, and really the materials they're able to accept. And that's really dependent on their region, what's available to be on site, as well as, you know, do they have a composter in the region? Do they have state policies that discourage or encourage composting on site on their campus? So that's definitely something that, you know, I think when looking at the regions, you can kind of look to see what those factors would be that play into, you know, what this outcome of stats kind of show. But we found that approximately 33% of schools did have some sort of, you know, composting on campus, which actually, you know, surprised me a little bit, just because it's something that most schools are realizing they need to address, because food waste is such a large part of campuses. And so it was great to see that, yeah, over 30% of schools did have some sort of, you know, program accepting these kind of materials.
That's fantastic. So how do you see universities ultimately using this data? How can it benefit them?
So we hope, like I mentioned before, kind of those common questions that we were getting, how do I measure up? Am I doing a good job? We hope that, you know, this kind of database and how we can build with this data in the future will kind of provide them that peer benchmarking that they're looking for. You know, while they can't always look at, you know, their rival school or just the neighboring school, just like I said, based on size or, you know, what's available to them, what their programs are in place currently on their campus. Those are all factors that, you know, not always allow you to make that direct comparison. And so we're hoping that this can be something that, you know, they can look at and kind of narrow down by, you know, what's a similar peer to them within this data and look at, you know, how they can, you know, compare, but then use what their, you know, comparable school or peer is doing and use that as kind of a jumping off point, seeing kind of building that interest, gaining support, see what other universities are doing and using it as a way to get fresh ideas, see, you know, lessons learned, any pain points other universities had, you know, start those conversations, I think is hopefully a way to build like a network that, you know, rather than just kind of feeling like universities are alone in this, they're not, they just have to find comparable peers to be able to kind of confide in.
So would you suggest universities looking at the report as kind of maybe a new university that's getting started or a university that's looking to improve their existing program? Would you suggest them to start with the report and what other best practices would you recommend on university campuses?
Yeah, so I think the report could be a jumping off point where they can see, you know, one of the things that in kind of the breakdown of programs that we looked at was also kind of an innovative program section where, you know, a lot of schools might be doing athletic shoe recycling, office desk recycling, a bottle return program, even, you know, eco to go containers for their cafeteria. You know, like I said, campuses are
kind of an eco to go container on a university.
it's like a really thick plastic, or at least in some cases, a thick plastic reusable clamshell. And so we saw in some cases where students could, I think it was like a dollar they would pay, they'd get a clamshell, they could go and, you know, get their lunch in this container, they'd go take it back to their dorm or take it to class or wherever they're going to go eat lunch. And then the next day, they just bring it back. It could be clean or dirty. They just hand it back and they, you know, obviously clean them, but they give them a fresh container. And then it's just kind of a reusable process. And it seems to be successful kind of wherever it's been taking off.
I was concerned with them trying to clean their reusable clamshell in their sink of their dorm or whatnot.
Yes. Yes.
That's funny. So I know you've done a lot of things like waste audits and those things at universities. Are you seeing anything, especially as you've been doing this over the years, are there any things that you're seeing as signs of hope or even just changes in the university mm-hmm. space?
Yeah, I think, I'll say two things. One thing that I think is really encouraging is when a campus can be really transparent. I think that's something that we talk to our university clients a lot about. A lot of times we might come in to help them benchmark, you know, where you have to know where you are starting from with this kind of process. And so, you know, might be doing a waste audit, letting them know where that starting line is. And that really helps them be able to show progress. And that, I think, is the first thing, is just being able to kind of know where you are starting and then data tracking to allow you to show that progress. But when I say being transparent, it's a lot of students really want to know where they stand. You know, they're the ones kind of encouraging campuses to do these different types of programs. And so for a university to be able to share their progress along the way, show, you know, where the gaps are, where they're working towards, you know, finding those opportunities to, make those improvements. I think sharing with students and their staff, you know, where they stand each quarter, each month, you know, whatever their data is kind of showing them, you know, it provides a lot of encouragement. I think a lot of students want to know what's going on, you know, within their campus, but it's really that fine line of being able to show their success where they can. It's that kind of positive reinforcement where a student, if, you know, a campus is struggling just to have people sort, you know, in the cafeteria, their recyclables and their compostables as students are throwing away their lunch, you know, if they're sharing that they're making improvements with their composting program, that small little effort can really encourage a student to actually take that extra second or two to sort properly with the, you know, right education out there. And it's those small connections that students and staff can make if they know how that program is doing. It makes them feel like they're part of it. It makes them feel like they're actually making a difference. And so that's definitely something that I've loved seeing across campuses is that, you know, they're willing to be transparent with everyone. They're willing to show that they might have improvements, but they're also willing to share those small wins and their success of their program.
That's great. I'm excited that you also mentioned the students. To me, I feel like we are in a really inspiring age where students are getting higher education in sustainability fields, in things that many of us, you know, are learning by experience. They're learning it from an academic perspective, and the impact of that, I think, is going to be limitless for the future. Mm-hmm. Recap what I've heard you say, you know, RRS has this fantastic report that shows the benchmarks. If a university is getting started, they could start with this report. They also may want to think about doing waste audits on their campus. They definitely want to set goals, create a plan, implement that plan kind of from the top down, top down or bottom up, however it works for your university. And then really involve the students and the faculty and think outside the box. Am I missing anything here? I feel like you have a lot of really good suggestions here. Is there anything you want to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, no, I think the key is, like I said at the beginning, kind of those goals and that strategic plan. I think, you know, as we're all been in the last year or so dealing with just even a new thing that we're unfamiliar with being in a pandemic, I think that's just another case of, you know, an unexpected hiccup within a lot of your universities having to deal with, you know, waste on a campus that, you know, students might not actually be on, or, you know, if right. they're having virtual camp, you know, classes. But a few years ago, it was a similar thing with the China ban and how, you know, that was causing a lot of, you know, issues with campuses being able to recycle certain materials and things like that. And so those are just, you know, you always have to have a plan for these unexpected things to come up. And so having, you know, a goal in mind, but also a plan in place that, you know, allows for some of that, those unexpected mm-hmm. things to come up, I think is exactly what a campus can do to, you know, not only create hopefully a successful program, but a sustainable one. I think one that, you know, can last through the turnover of students, but one that, you know, with the right champions in place, can be something that, you know, moves forward and allows for, you know, new and bigger and greater things to be added to it.
Sure, definitely. And of course, when you're talking about the China ban, you were talking about the ban on exports for recyclables going to China that happened in 2018. Yes. So very important to note, Kelly, thank you so much for your time and for your expertise. And I know that universities across the U.S. that have the opportunity to work with you are also thankful for your input and the impact that this research and your expertise brings. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was the Recycle.com podcast. We hope you listen to our next episode soon.